Okay, test, test, test. 1, 2, 3. Are we tested? I've been tested. Have you been tested? I've been tested for STDs. Just keep going. After seeing that, I just want to get started. Greetings, everybody. It is Saturday, August the 6th, and the goal is to get 3 episodes of Stating the Obvious recorded for the coming week, because I'm going to be really busy. I'm going to be super busy this coming week. We'll discuss that in just a moment. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Shove your opinion up your ass. That way Hillary Clinton's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourself. Yes, this is the Go Fuck Yourself Foundcast. Yeah, Go Fuck Yourself Podcast. I am the Go Fuck Yourself Founder, the Cynical Libertarian Society, the great one himself. Podcasting for 11 motherfucking years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on to destroy stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. Doesn't matter what kind of statist you are, your right-wing statist, left-wing statist, social justice warrior statist, femistatist, homo statist, tranny statist, all fucking statist. Fucking blown up nuclear tip cruise missile, mowed down 50 caliber machine gun. Go fuck yourself. Alright, let me grab this. Let me get this. It's amazing, as much as I clean around this place, I clean and then more shit just gets in the fucking way. That shit's clean, but this shit is in the fucking way. Randy, this is all, I blame you, because you're the girl. In the control room, over there on the other side of the glass, is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's being seen and not heard, the way women should be. I always like to throw that out, because I know how offended people get, but it's okay. And what's going on here? Oh, the library, you got my book for me. Oh, it's my movie. Oh, man, I'm watching this movie. I don't remember the name of the movie. I'll talk about the movie. You'll hear about the movie sometime in the future. I'm watching this movie right now. It's fucking awesome. And awesome, that's one of the words. So I'm just getting ready to do the cast, and I have the email open, which I'm closing the email right now. Don't come kick my ass. There we go, email is closed. That's the rule. I'm not supposed to have the email program open while I podcast, because otherwise I get all distracted and shit. Randy is enforcing that shit. Speaking of enforcing, if you want to send us email to enforce our love or our hatred of you, if you want to send us hate mail, love mail, naked pictures, anything you want to send, you can send viruses, you can send death threats. I mean, I don't care if you send death threats, I'll put them. I'm working on a page on the website for all of the people who have praised me or sent me obnoxious, hateful comments. I'm working on a lot of things, you know that. Hey, if you want to send us email, you can do that. It's God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And, of course, the website where you should be subscribing to the RSS feed, so that you can listen to the podcast. I think we're back up on YouTube now. I think I have, again, been we'll talk about that in a minute. Because that makes it sound like I've been banned for the content of the podcast, as in the things I'm talking about, which is not true. Blocked, that's the correct terminology. The podcast keeps getting blocked in the United States for copyright violations because of David Gilmour's music. The opening and closing credits of this podcast is the song You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album About Face, and it's a song he wrote about me, because You Know I'm Right. You can tell from the little things, right? Either you are wrong or I'm right. That is a perfect description of me. And if you disagree with me, then that describes the situation perfectly, right? If I say something and you disagree, well, either I'm wrong, or right. Whoops. Either you're wrong or I'm right. This is why we don't do any editing around here, because this podcast is a lot more entertaining without the editing. Anyhow, hang on. I need a drink of martini. It is 2 p.m., and I do have a martini in my hand already. And this is the first... excuse me. And, of course, I'm spilling some of it on the floor. It's inevitable. This is the first... This is the first martini I have made with the Navy Strength Plymouth Gin. Oh, and let me tell you something. I can taste the difference. And I'm already feeling the difference. Oh, shit. The normal Plymouth Gin, if I remember correctly, is 43% alcohol. This is 57% alcohol. And it does taste a little bit different. It seems it's maybe a little sweeter, perhaps. Or maybe I just put too much vermouth. I don't know. Well, I've kind of got martini making down to a science. So perhaps I added a little too much vermouth. But it has a little different. But as far as the alcohol strength, oh my God, I took the first sip and I'm like, holy shit. I could feel that. All right. I need to make a note here for myself. I need to do that. And then Sunday, I need to do that. And I also need to go trail running. Of course. And, all right. What else? Oh, yes. Let me get to this. So I'm about to do the cast. And I'm checking the email. Over on on the Twitterverse came through this a link to one of the articles over at Return of Kings. It's called 10 Words and Phrases That Girls Habitually Use That Prove They Are Mindless Robots. It doesn't necessarily prove that they're mindless robots, but it does show that they're just idiots, right? Have you ever noticed that most liberal Western women utilize the following 10 words and phrases as the mainstays of their vocabulary? They utter these words and phrases in the exact same ways, using the exact same vocal inflections. Here they are. Number one, amazing. Number two, oh my God. Number three, so good. Number four, thank you. Number five, like, which I just used in a sentence, like, totally. Number six, really. Number seven, right? Number eight, cute. Exactly, cute, cute, it's so cute, oh, cute. Number nine, awesome, which I cannot fucking stand. And number 10, no. He forgot the word super. I am so fucking sick of that. I'm super busy. Oh my God, that is so super cute. You look super adorable. Oh my God, I was super late. Right? Super. It's like extreme. It's a word that doesn't mean anything. It's not data. It's not information. It's just emotion. Saw somebody arguing the other day on Twitter with somebody, global warming wacko was arguing with a non-global warming wacko about global warming. And the global warming wacko pointed out that there have been more extreme weather events in the last whatever years, whatever lie, whatever, right? And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, why doesn't somebody just point out that extreme is not a number. It's not a data point. You can't do anything with that. If I say to you, like when somebody, not supposed to be talking about global warming, but we will, because I have other things to talk about, right? When they say, well, it's extreme weather. Well, what does that mean? If I say to you I want you to bring me an extreme number of jelly beans. Okay. What exactly does that mean? How many jelly beans is an extreme number? What if I told you I wanted you to build me an extremely large doghouse? Or not even, an extreme doghouse. I mean, what does that mean? What is an extreme doghouse compared to a doghouse? Right, so when you modify something with the word extreme, it doesn't mean anything. It's the same thing with super. This is how you know that global warming, in addition to being a religion, is a feminized religion. Because, oh my God, it's so super hot. The weather, oh my God, that hurricane, it was super extreme. We've had more super extreme weather in the last 10 years, and that's why oh my God, global warming is real. Oh my God. And it's not super extreme cute when people deny global warming, because oh my God, it's so super real. I'm reading the Dirty Pair comics from Eclipse Comic. These came out ages ago. When did this come out? This was published in 1989. I'm doing some cleaning back at the house. Hang on, I need martini. I'll be right back. Oh, God. Damn. That has some oomph to it. I'm not bullshitting. Whew. Maybe it's just because it's 2:15. Now, I've started drinking long before 2:15 before. It's never bothered. No, it's got some oomph. Anyhow. So I just happened to pay attention in this one issue to the little... It's called the penumbra. It's like the editorial introduction to the comic book, right? On the inside cover of each issue, there's a little editorial from Catherine, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Yronwode. I could try to say that, but I'll just fuck it up, so I won't. But Catherine writes a little editorial intro that has nothing to do with the comic. It's just her writing about things she wants to write about. And I just happened to look at this one and start reading it. And this is beautiful. You guys know how I always talk about statistics, okay? How you gotta fucking learn to think when you see statistics, when you see scientific studies, when you see sociological studies, all this other shit. Oh, I need to put this on my list too. God damn it. Don't want to do that today. Or do I want to not do that at all? Fuck. Yeah. I did go to the hardware store. I got that done. Sorry, not talking to you guys. I'm talking to Randy. Yes, I got all the stuff. I didn't get the stuff for... I didn't get the drain cleaner chemical shit. I'll do that some other time, but I got the other stuff. Everything else is done. Not that the drains here are backing up, but I'm a boy. I do this thing called preventative maintenance instead of waiting till, okay. Oh, so since we're talking about preventative maintenance, let me throw this in real quick. Then we'll come back to statistics in the Dirty Pair editorial. How often do I have to remind you people? Hold on. God damn it. Fuck, I need to make notes for show notes. Fuck. All right. Fuck, did I talk about? Alright, I gotta get a... Yeah. Hey, Randy, you know what we should do? When we do the podcast, we should audio record the podcast, and then when it's time to do show notes, I could go back and listen to the audio recording of me recording the podcast, and I'd know what the fuck I talked about. Is that brilliant, or is that brilliant? God damn. My God, I am so extremely super smart. Oh my God, totally, oh my god, I am so super smart. Like, oh my god, like, totally. Words. Oh, women, you. All right. Anyhow, God. All right. Enough. I have to fucking record. What was I doing? Oh. So I'm hanging out with some of my commie socialist friends the other day, and they're whining about shit. And this is the same group of people where it was uttered that we don't need fracking because the price of oil and gasoline has gone down. And I'm thinking, yes, because you're too stupid to realize that the reason the price of oil and gasoline has gone down is partially because of fracking. And so this one chick is bitching about the dentist. And she's complaining about how she went in to get her chipped tooth, built back up. You know, so she had a chip in her tooth, and they're going to fill the chip and build it back up. And she's like, yeah, it only took like 20 minutes, and I had to pay $200 for that. So that's just ridiculous. And I'm thinking, Jesus fucking Christ, you women, and this woman has a PhD, you women, you don't get it. The reason that you're paying the $200 is for the technology that allows the dentist to fix your fucking tooth in 20 minutes. You know, it's like, would you be happy paying more money if it was like a 3-hour process? Then she's talking about how she went to the dentist and they said, well, you have some cavities and we should fill these cavities in before they get any larger. And she says something to the effect of, she's like, that's stupid. Why, if it's just a little cavity, why would I worry about it? Why wouldn't you wait until the cavity gets big enough that you have to do something about it? I'm just thinking, holy fucking shit. Here it is. Why? Why would you fill in the cavity in your tooth when it's really small and tiny? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you wait until the cavity is, I don't know, super large, until it's extreme? Why wouldn't you wait for the cavity to get worse before doing something about it? Right? Why try to fix the retirement pension system of the governments and the corporations and all that? Now, why not wait until they actually collapse and then we'll try to fix them? I mean, come on. Oh, girls. There's a reason why you should not be allowed to vote. There's a reason why you should not have jobs. There's a reason why you shouldn't have any kind of power. And it's not because I'm a misogynist and I hate women and all this other shit. It's because women with PhDs say things like, and she has a PhD in science. PhDs in science say things like, why should I get my cavities filled when they're small? Well, I should just wait until they're bigger and they're actually a problem. Girls. Oh, that is strong. Damn it. Girls, I know you don't believe me, but honestly, the only time you should open your mouth is when you're going to put my dick inside it. It really is. There's just no other reason. Because every time a woman opens her mouth, just stupid shit comes out. All right. Back to this editorial by Catherine, who actually wrote something down, and it's not stupid. So Catherine talks about how, and I'm gonna kind of read slash summarize here because I just don't want to read the whole thing. All right, blah, blah, blah. Today I read one of those statistical filler articles teach a quick lesson about life in America. Here it is in full as reprinted from the Northwest Extra, a free pop culture tabloid out of Olympia, Washington. Okay. Quote, a survey, remember this is back in 1989, quote, a survey by the Center for Science in the Public Interest, Science in the Public Interest. I wonder how communist, left-wing, statistically or fucking oriented this organization is. Survey from the sent by the Center for Science in the Public Interest reported that children aged 8 to 12 can identify more brands of beer than they can presidents of the United States. One girl named 14 and 4, respectively. Thus, 14 brands of beer, 4 presidents. Catherine goes on to ask the question, what does this survey prove? And she puts prove in quote marks, which, see, Catherine knows what the fuck's going on. She is aware. She is awake. She is paying attention. Does it indicate that we have entered the new era of moral turpitude and historical ignorance? Better, you should ask, if the survey's results are meaningful. One way to check the survey's methodology is by giving yourself the beer versus presidents test yourself. Go ahead, write down the names of all the presidents you can remember, and then write down all the beers. She goes on to point out that she says, well, eventually I got 41 presidents, because at the time when this was written, there had only been 41 presidents. She said, meanwhile, my beer list came to 79 brands. She says, I bet your list will be similar to mine, blah, blah, blah. She says, I bet that having now taken this test yourself, you can now tell me what was wrong with the Center for Science in the Public Interest survey. Actually, I bet most of you out there, those not necessarily the listeners to this podcast, but the 99%ers, would not have a clue what's wrong. If you listen to this podcast on a regular basis and you think, you can probably figure out what's wrong also, as did she. As she writes, that's right, there simply are more brands of beer than presidents. Even if you listed the entire presidential roll call, an average memory for names would still leave you in the unfortunate moral position of naming more beers than presidents. What then is the use of such a survey? Why would anyone commission it, and why would anyone publish the results? These are excellent questions that Catherine is asking. For example, right now, every fucking on the Twitterverse all the time, I see streaming by, poll in this state, Donald Trump leads Hillary Clinton by whatever. And I don't really see much Hillary leads Donald because I don't follow left-wing statists. I do follow some right-wing statists. Actually, I follow a lot of right-wing statists because most... everybody's a statist of some sort, so most of the people I follow on the Twitter are right-wing statists, so I see more pro-Trump than pro-Hillary, although a little bit of pro-Hillary shows up. But these polls, I mean, where Donald Trump is leading Hillary Clinton in the polls, I mean, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. It's useless information. It's extreme. It's super. It doesn't mean anything. Catherine goes on to write this. I may be wrong, but I think the item was propaganda. That is, non-news. Non-news is in quotes. Catherine is very astute. That is, non-news, designed to produce a certain emotional response. Creating emotional responses in the public. I wonder if that could possibly be the goal here. If one doesn't immediately catch the inherent flaw in the survey's premise, one will probably believe it proves, the word prove is in quotes, that there's just too much advertising and too little teaching of history in America today. I suggest that the real lesson to be had from this bogus survey is not that kids, like grown-ups, can name more beers than presidents, but that we must always view with intense skepticism any survey that purports to tell us what is going on in the great American mind. All scientists believe in global warming. It's only designed to create an emotion. All right, beer versus presidents test. Put that on the notes. I might remember to put that in the show notes. All right, there we go. Randy, where the fuck are we on time? Yeah, 26. All right. Oh my God, that martini is killer. Sorry to keep harping about the martini, guys, but fuck. I'm telling you, it's devastating. What? Yes, I know I'm supposed to point my mouth at the microphone when I talk, but I'm not saying anything important, so nobody's missing anything. All right, not at that moment. Okay. All right, so we will do... Next episode, we're going to finish up talking about the book. Where's the book? The Essential Guide to Date Rape Prevention. What the fuck? Where am I? Oh, I have notes there. I have more notes. Because we're already 27 minutes into this podcast. So let's pick up. I had started doing this a couple of episodes ago, reading stuff from an old issue of Reason Magazine. Again, this issue of Reason Magazine came out... Oh, not Reason. Liberty. Sorry. Liberty Magazine, which does not exist anymore, unfortunately, because Liberty was the best political, philosophical, economic magazine ever published. Had a very low readership because stuff that requires this much intelligence isn't going to be popular. Anyway, this is from June 2010. I read that, so now I'm supposed to be reading something on page 14. I have no idea what I'm about to read because I wrote down these notes to read this stuff in 2010 when I was reading this. Here we go. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 things to read. I have no idea what any of them are. We're trudging forward because that's how we do things here. I'm also moving the microphone, so if you hear weird noises. All right. Straight shooting. Obama's man in Afghanistan has made an astonishing admission. In a comment on American checkpoints, General Stanley McChrystal said, quote, "We have shot an amazing number of people, but to my knowledge, none has ever proven to be a threat." Unquote. It's from the New York Times, March 27th, 2010. Now, if the general would take the next logical step from this continuing record of failure and call for the U.S. withdrawal from the Afghan disaster, he might actually go down as a truth hero in the annals of military history. "We have shot an amazing number of people, but to my knowledge, none has ever proven to be a threat." Obama has also killed a large number of people with flying robots in Afghanistan and other countries. And a vast number of them, I'm sorry, an extreme amount of them were totally super not threats. They were like extreme civilians. They were like super civilians. Just a little prick. All right. Just a little prick. A news item from the Salt Lake Tribune, April 1st. Quote, "Despite opposition from civil libertarians and criminal defense lawyers, Governor Gary Herbert signed a law Wednesday that would significantly expand those whose DNA is kept on record in the state's database. Under SB 277, anyone arrested for a violent crime would be required to pay $150 to have their DNA sampled and added to the state database when they are booked into jail before they are charged or go to trial. In other words, the state of Utah assumes you are guilty until proven innocent. It forces you to pay for its assumption of your guilt. And should you be able to prove your innocence to Utah's satisfaction, you will still need to pay for a court order to have your DNA removed from the state database. One aspect of the passage of this hideous bill leaps out at me. Herbert has been loudly protesting the Fed's violations of states' rights, yet he illustrates why I don't favor states' rights as so many libertarians. I don't see the advantage. States are as vicious in violating individual rights as the Feds are. I have no preference for being persecuted by FICC as opposed to FRAC. In any given instance, I might prefer one over the other simply because of a difference between policies, but I can't generalize. I remain baffled by libertarians who believe the state's rights are an avenue to greater freedom. And I would agree with that to a very great extent. I think the only aspect... Hold on, I need more martini. And it takes extra time because it's still fairly full and I'm trying not to spill it. Oh. Motherfucker. Man. I don't know if I can drink two of these, tell you the truth, Randy. Holy shit, this is kicking my ass. And it's getting sunny outside. I have the windows open. It was nice and cloudy. Oh, it was a great morning, all morning long. Now it's getting sunny, and it's supposed to fucking rain today. 80% chance of thunderstorms, and we know that the weather forecasting is super accurate. It's really extreme. It is so amazing. Oh my God, it is so amazingly cute how super accurate the weather forecasting is. Like, oh my God, totally. I think the only advantage of laws on a state level versus a federal level is that it's easier to leave one state and go to a different state than it is to leave the United States and go to a different country. I mean, I agree with, this was written by Wendy McElroy, who is a regular, and Liberty still exists as a website. It's linked in the sidebar over on the website and everything like that. I'm pretty sure she still contributes. I'm almost certain I've seen stuff from her lately. And anyway, she's a very smart person. I agree with a lot of the stuff that she's written in the past. I mean, I agree. There's nothing inherently better about government on the state level as opposed to the federal level, anything like that, other than it's easier to escape the state government. But no, I mean, the state is still the state. Government is still government. It's still evil. It's still shitheads. It's still vile and oppressive and enslaving. Over here we've got the second story. This is from the Financial Times of London, March 18th of 2010. The second story is from, and this is a different writer, different topic. I'm not reading all of it. It's just the one paragraph. This second story is from the Washington Times on the same day. While the Obama administration has actually banned offshore oil drilling on much of the outer continental shelf, all of the east and west coast, and much of the deep water off the Gulf Coast, Russia has announced that it will start drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, in conjunction with its old ally Cuba, Russia will begin exploiting oil resources in the deep waters off the Gulf, in an area that the Carter administration agreed that Cuba could exploit. This is not the area in which Obama has just announced he will allow drilling to proceed, which is nearer to Florida than to Cuba. Okay. Not really sure I marked that for importance, but I did, and I read it, and there it is. The Ruskies are drilling oil. The price of oil is going down thanks to fracking and Ruskies drilling oil off of the fucking coast of Cuba. This is what you get when I don't read ahead. And a recent AP story, March 26, gives us some insight into how well the feds will run our healthcare system. Oh yes, now that we have 6 years of experience with the feds running the healthcare system, let's see what this predicts and see if it's accurate or not. The AP reports the results of a GAO, that's the General Accountability Office, report on the highly touted Green Energy Star program. This program, run by the EPA together with the Department of Energy, evaluates and rates products for their energy efficiency. Various tax credits and rebates are made available for products with high ratings. The GAO, which has the task of examining government programs for their efficiency, submitted 20 phony products to the Energy Star program for rating. 15 of those fake products received certification that they were energy efficient. Among the bogus products that won Energy Star Efficiency Awards was the 1.5 foot tall by 1.25 foot wide gasoline powered alarm clock. Another was an air cleaner that consisted, really, you have to compliment the GAO on its robust sense of humor, of a space heater with a feather duster and strips of fly paper flimsily tacked on. The GAO notes that nobody at the EPA or DOE bothered to read the product descriptions. In what has to be the understatement of the century, the GAO concluded that the Energy Star program is vulnerable to fraud and abuse. And this, my friends, is why, well, our building is LEED certified. This is a green product. All of this shit, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Energy Star Efficiency Award for a 1 foot by 1 foot gasoline powered alarm clock. Really, that's Energy Star efficient. Yeah, I mean, that's hilarious. I need to see if I can find that. 6 years ago, it might be out there. I really should look for that. Scribble a note in here. I would love to find the fucking GAO report about that. The AP reports that House Democrats are expressing concerns about their personal safety following protest over health care legislation. I don't see what the problem is. Medical coverage for trauma is clearly included in health care reform. That's the kind of wittiness that you can find in Liberty Magazine. God. All right, I got this. I got that. Okay, Randy, where are we on time? This is a lot. Well, it's not a lot. This is like a super bunch. Like, oh my God, this is really an extreme amount of reading. Like, totally. Okay. Let's go. Let's find out what this is about. The Atlanta Progressive News is not a heavily visited internet site, but it recently got more traffic than usual. In mid-February, APN terminated senior staff writer Jonathan Springsteen because, quote, He held on to the notion that there was an objective reality that could be reported objectively, despite the fact that this was not our editorial policy at Atlantic Progressive News, unquote. Now remember, my friends, the media has no bias. Again, my idiot friends, including the one who wants to wait until her cavity gets really bad before doing anything about it, these same idiots attempted to argue that the media does not have a left-wing statist bias. He was fired because he held on to the notion that there was an objective reality that could be reported objectively, despite the fact that this was not our editorial policy at Atlantic Progressive News. I have to search for more information on this. I have to Google this. I have to Google this and mindlessly believe the very first link that comes up. I have to find out more. That, we're going to fire you because you think there's such a thing as objective reality. This is journalism. This is where the 99% get their information about the world around them. This is why the 99% should not be allowed to vote. This is why the 99% are slaves. This is why I despise you. Because there are a vast, there are an extreme number of you out there. And you're not super cute. Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. Like, no. Like, shut up. Like, oh my God. No. Like, oh my God. What's terrifying is how many of people out there, it's about how many of you out there, again, if you're listening to this podcast and if you've made it this far, then you're probably not in this category. What's terrifying is how many people out there would agree that there is no such thing as objective reality. There's millions, there's billions of people who would agree. Objective reality, there's no such thing. Okay, there's much, much more to read about this. Let me go forward. Forward. The fuck is forward? That's not a word. That's the martini talking. I'm going forward at this point. The watery epistemology was reported by a rival Atlanta-based progressive internet news outlet. Yes, there is more than one. Which poked deserved fun. But the episode did raise some interesting points about the collectivist, and frankly just plain stupid, premise underlying contemporary progressive politics. APN News editor Matthew Cardinal tried to defend his company's actions. Quote, progressive news is news that brings... Oh, because there's a difference between progressive news and real news. Which, okay, actually, you know what? I would agree with that. There's definitely a difference between progressive news and actual news. But let's find out what Matthew says the difference is. Let me stop interrupting myself and go back to reading. Quote, progressive news is news that brings us closer to universal health care, living wages, affordable housing, peace, a healthy environment and voting systems we can trust. Unquote. So in other words, progressive news is news that lies. Progressive news is news that is untrue. Progressive news is news that is opposed to individual freedom. Progressive news is news that celebrates collectiveness, slavery, statism, redistribution of wealth, hatred of heterosexual white men who work for a living. He tossed in nostrums about, quote, corporate media sources, unquote, promoting the, quote, agenda of the ultra-wealthy, unquote. He quoted Howard Zinn, a crackpot propagandist beloved of the bourgeois political posers in America's biggest cities. But Cardinal seemed to sense that his explanations were only making the episode more absurd. So he added ominously that the APN was, quote, drafting a more programmatic statement on our editorial position regarding objectivity, intersubjectivity, and news, unquote. A few days later, Cardinal released his 3,000-plus word, quote, programmatic statement, unquote. It resembled the sophomoric ramblings you'd expect from a late-night dormitory bull session. It serves as a striking indictment of American progressive politics, full of philosophical and political pretenses, but really just tautological justifications of lazy bias and shoddy logic. Here are some excerpts. Quote, the premise of objectivity is literally to remove the observer from what it is that is being observed and simply to report what is. However, that is an impossibility. It cannot be done. In fact, there is nothing that, quote, is, unquote, separate from the observer or multiple observers who construct and interpret what that reality is. These people vote. This is why democracy doesn't work. There is nothing that is separate from the observers. Now, in a certain sense, I agree with this statement. I have said before, I will say again, I have this in writing. You're going to see it in writing in the near future. Well, for me, near future, that means the next 40 fucking years. Okay? Reality, that which does exist, reality, is easy to identify. Envision, if you will, every human on the planet Earth, every single human, the trannies, the fags, the femistatists, right, the beta male white knight orbitals, the heterosexual white men who work for a living, every human on the planet Earth drops dead. All of us are dead. We're all dead. An alien comes here from another planet, lands, the alien gets out of his spaceship. It's a him because women wouldn't fucking be smart enough. He looks around. Everything that alien sees, that's reality. Okay, everything that still exists, if all humans die, that's called reality. You don't even need the observer. In fact, I think the observer, the alien, might even muddy the waters. If everybody dies, all humans on Earth die. Everything that is left, that's reality. That is objective reality. That does exist. Trees, grass, water buffalo, whales, the oceans, mountains, air, wind, tornadoes, iron, copper, rocks, granite, chlorophyll. All of those things, those are real. The things that no longer exist, those are not real. Such as rights. This is why I don't like talking about rights. Rights don't fucking exist. I've talked about this in the past. I'll talk about it in the future. I don't have time right now. Right? Rights don't exist. Your right to welfare. Your right to medical care. If every human drops dead, you cannot find a right to health care. You can't locate that. It does not exist. There's no fucking such thing. There is nothing that is separate from the observer. No, you fucking moron. There's an entire fucking cosmos that is. But if you're Bill Clinton, I guess it all depends on what your definition of is, right? Okay, we're almost out of time on this episode. I'm not going to finish this, so I guess next episode I'm going to finish all of this. Third episode we record today will be the finishing up of the Essential Guide to Date Rape Prevention. You'll hear that on Friday. One could argue that the only one who, this is still quoting from his paper, one could argue that the only one who's really objective is God. And that's because God is omniscient or all-knowing, that is, if you believe in God. I'm just going to save it because I can't finish this because I have to make too much fun of this. Liberal progressives invoking God. The only one who's really objective is God. No, I'm really objective, and my objective opinion tells me you're an extreme fucking idiot. You are so fucking extremely super fucking like fucking stupid. You are a fucking moron. This is fucking hilarious. I know why I marked this for reading it. All right, we're going to take a very short break here at the studio. I'm going to be back. We're going to record part two of this. You, Lizzie, will have to wait until Wednesday to hear this, but I'll try to make it worth it. So I'm all warmed up now, so next episode should be much better. Man, this martini, god damn it, dude. I don't know if I can handle 57% alcohol. This might be more than my motherfucking pants user fucking capable of dealing with.